Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Showtime! How y'all feel?
If you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us as we get going on another week of Sports Daily, a Monday edition. Good to have you with us. Hope you had a good weekend. There's Shane Dennis. How was your weekend? Busy, right?
Sure.
You had a lot of things going on?
Yeah.
Better busy than not, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And as much as I hate doubleheaders, I was pretty glad I wasn't just sitting up in the press box watching it rain yesterday, which is exactly what it did. So got all three in at the Eck for Eric Wedge's home openers, and they won them all. And the women's basketball team won yesterday against Tulsa on the road, so that's good. But then there's the story of the men playing Cincinnati.
Well,
where you talk about kryptonite.
Oh, my God. You know, let me just say this. This team would be certifiably lethal if they could shoot the ball. Shane, I'll even go a step further. If they could make layups.
Mm-hmm.
If they could just make layups, they would be a team to be reckoned with into the second week of the NCAA tournament. Because all of the other metrics and all of the other heart and energy and toughness, all of those things are there.
Yes, they are.
But my God, give me this team. I'll play a game of horse with this team.
Man.
Not me, but
we're right.
My guys, I mean, together. Right.
I was looking last night and saw the graphic on TV. Couldn't believe it, so I had to look it up. But what does Binghamton, IUPUI, Sacramento State and Chicago State all have in common? They shoot They shoot better than this team does.
Which is stunning.
325 in the nation in field goal percentage.
I mean,
and a 27 game sample size. So, and I say that, and also they're 214th in free throw percentage and 241st in 3-point field goal percentage. There's another one too, by the way. How many times have we said if they just make one more three-pointer, they win that game?
Layups for this, yesterday. Yeah. Just layups. Not even three-pointers. Just layups. Ability to finish around the basket. It was so frustrating. And then, of course, here they are because they're so damn tough. They defend so well. They generally rebound, although it would have been nice to have gotten one, you know, with, 4 seconds left off of a missed free throw. But anyway, they have real issues putting the ball in the basket. And not just from three, they don't finish at the hole.
Yeah.
They just don't. How many times do you think, all told, that they missed from inside of 3 or 4 feet yesterday?
Dozen?
7, 8, 9 times?
Well, I was thinking more like double figures.
I think you're right.
Because you go back to the very beginning
staggering.
Of the game, there was a couple of, not bunnies because he was guarded, but just point blankers. Echenique missed a left-handed little banker hook shot, if memory serves. I think it was Trey
Wade. Stevenson missed one at the rim.
I think it was Trey Wade that missed the one that just really sticks out because it was in the second half. And I think it would have either given him the lead or tied the game. Of course, it was close. It was close the whole way. But
sure,
they had a little flurry there where three shots, the initial three-pointer, and then a couple of putbacks wouldn't stay in. And I said this is overstating things, but it doesn't have to be Jerron Cumberland particularly. But the difference between those two teams and the one in Wichita and the one yesterday was they have Cumberland and we don't. He can drive the ball from the three-point line to the rim and either finish or get fouled. And Wichita State simply can't and doesn't have that guy that can take contact and get to the line. Now, we can argue, and I would listen to it, that 22 free throws is a little bit ridiculous because it is. Did Jerron Cumberland earn 22 trips to the free throw line? I'm going to say no. And with all due respect to Cumberland, who has shot, I think Bob Hull said this on the radio yesterday, that he shot like 60 or 80 more free throws than the Wichita State player that's been to the free throw line the most often.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's just cavernous, the difference between him getting to the line and Wichita State's best guy getting to the line. But these guys, after 27 games, we know what they are, we know what they aren't. So,
exactly.
And I'll give, you know, I got my mentions blown up pretty good yesterday, and not in a bad, bad way, but just Shocker fans' angst. But did you think that this team was going to the Final Four after they were 15-1? I mean, they're still on the good side of the bubble. They're actually not even on the bubble. That loss yesterday technically really didn't do anything to them. Sure,
no,
it would have been nice for them to win that one. That would be a almost totally over the hump win if they would have won
yesterday.
They
stayed in the exact same place.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And Cincinnati stayed pretty much in the exact same spot by beating Wichita State. So I get that, they let one get away. Yes, they did. But losing games in this league, number one, is not the end of the world. And number two, this league is tough as hell, and Wichita State almost pulled it out. And I get that fans are getting tired of the almost pulled it out part, but
I know, but that's and you know what? I get it. That's fans and it's okay. You've got to be able to look at the broader picture. And we've talked about this a lot this year. The 15-1 start exacerbated the expectations and pushed it higher, and that's understandable. And the reality of league play has brought it back down a little closer to earth. So we understand that. But I think you and I have both said this. This team is still way ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe not way ahead now, but they're ahead of schedule. From a standpoint of development, where they are, youth in the team, the fact that there's still not a, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's still not a guy that has developed yet. The kind of guy that can play downhill and go get you points at the rim, whether he's fouled or whether he's scoring. It's still a team that every now and then I think, they settle for three-pointers. And
But if they weren't taking them, we'd be like, oh, my God, he's open. Shoot the ball.
Yeah, take the shot. No, you're absolutely right. It's when they're missing them that I probably feel that way.
I know.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
But you can't have it both ways either. It's like
– no, you can't. No. No, absolutely not.
And Taylor Eldridge –
you cannot have it both ways.
Taylor Eldridge, as we both know and have stated, is a tremendous follow on Twitter if you are even close to being a Shocker fan. And so go down his timeline. And there's a little thread there on shots and settling for too many jumpers, not throwing it to Echenique enough. And Taylor will walk you through everything very nicely and won't summarily shut you down like some people will on Twitter. But there were double-digit open shots Like in basketball, you take open shots. That's what you scheme to get. And when you take them and miss them, you can't have it both ways. If it's like, oh, Echenique was doing all right, how come we stopped throwing it to him? Well, they ran a guy at him every time they even looked his direction. And I can understand your frustration if it's like, okay, pass it to him, and then he passes opposite because there's somebody open. Guess what? There'll be another open shot that we just got done talking about. That's
what the offense is designed to do. Inside, out. Inside, out. Rotate, find the open guy, and then the open guy has got to hit shots 30. I mean, if you're talking about threes, you'd like to be in about the 38% range. Knock the ball down.
Mm-hmm.
This team just doesn't do that. They're just not good shooters.
However,
and that's not to say
on the days when they make them,
well, then they're impossible to beat.
There's not a team in the league that can beat them. But
they're impossible to beat.
Those are big ifs. So, I would say enjoy the ride, but games like yesterday are just like, oh my god, we just want more play.
Games like yesterday make you say, why in the hell am I a fan?
What am I watching?
I mean, because it grinds you. So if you can, if you feel that way, imagine how this coaching staff is feeling. They're the ones busting their asses to find open shots, to put guys in a position to thrive. It's the old adage of leading a horse to water. You know, well, you hope that the horse will eventually drink it. In basketball, open shooters have got to make shots. And Wichita State just doesn't typically or consistently do that. This is just not, I mean, who do you really have faith in when the ball goes up? Tyson Etienne?
Etienne, to me, when he shoots, I expect it to go in, I guess.
Right. He's a guy that I would say, okay, I like it when he catches it open. He gets his release is quick, and I like his chances. Everybody else, I'm kind of holding my breath.
Oh,
no
doubt.
To be honest with you.
Yep, hoping it goes in.
I'm just holding my breath.
Yep.
It's like, you know.
Here's a fair criticism of that game in a nutshell, if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Mateo has emailed the show. And if you think back, the Shockers had the ball with, I want to say, 5 seconds left. Something like that. Down three.
Right.
Because Cincinnati kept missing free throws, by the way. And
right.
Eric Stevenson threw it in, and he basically turned it into the Christian Laettner play. He threw it three-quarter court all the way down with really not much of a chance to have it completed, and it was predictably stolen. Shockers had to foul and still had another chance.
It's such a no-chance play.
Okay, here's Mateo's email. Just a couple of weeks ago, we saw a player drive the ball down the floor under pressure to get a 25-foot three-pointer up with 3.3 seconds to beat us.
Mm-hmm.
So we had 3.5 seconds, and that's the play that was drawn up for real?
Yeah, it wasn't good. That's totally legitimate.
Yep.
Let me just say, in my house, that was a great source of angst. Now your odds of winning at that point are pretty slim, but you've got no odds of winning if you just throw an interception three quarters of the way. I mean, it's a no chance play. Just anyway, but whatever.
And after Cumberland and what was the other kid, Mike Adams Woods, I think was the freshman.
Yes,
they kept missing free throws. Wichita State kept missing shots. They missed like four in a row, including a Stevenson three with less than 30 seconds left. And
had
like
their chances, could have very easily have won that game. Could have, I mean, not easily is overstating it, but they could have won that game. And frankly, they could have won that game by a couple of possessions.
Yeah,
really could have. But and that goes back to who's running the squad. Where are they taking their cues from? Who's the guy that's the nasty in the last minute of play? They're not quite there. They're just good enough to lose a game at Tulsa on a last-second prayer. to lose a game on a drive to the hole at home against Cincinnati, to lose a game yesterday by the closest margin in which they had, as you just enumerated, chances down the stretch. Decent chances down the stretch, by the way.
Not prayers. Decent chances.
Right. No, good chances. Good chances. Chances that the offense is designed to afford.
Yes.
That's what you run offense for.
Yeah, and for those criticizing the offense or lack thereof or play design, rewatch that game and watch how many of those shots were open.
There's nothing wrong with the offense in terms of what they're doing, guaranteed. I mean, this offense is producing everything that they need to score points. All you can look for are open shots and every now and then a set piece off an inbounds or something like that that can get you a
mismatch
couple of,
if you get a guy right. in a switch, stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, but
something like that.
But
I
you
mean,
have
you
to
know,
execute.
There's, yeah, but by and large, you're not looking for we're going to draw it up in the sand kind of thing. You trust your offense to produce opportunities. Shocker offense, there's nothing wrong with the Shocker offense except they can't shoot. They don't finish.
And here's another kind of hidden stat. Although they had a handful yesterday, they don't get all that many runouts. No freebies, no easy ones, no steals and layups.
No, you're right, they don't.
And compared to Cincinnati, they continue to push the pace and continue to either get layups or fouls on their own, on their own offensive end. Okay.
Hold on a second.
869-1240 is Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline. What's on Tap is brought to you by Side Pockets. We've got a second hour that's chock full. Danny Tarkanian will join us at the top of hour number two. He's got a book out about his dad, and that's pretty much enough said. And Danny, by the way, was a really good point guard himself, but he's got a book out. It's called Rebel with a Cause, the true story of Jerry Tarkanian. It's a fascinating, fascinating read. And also, we will we'll have Jason, John Gazaway, ESPN.com reporter, talking bubble, and he has addressed all of those seemingly endless dozens of teams that are on the bubble right now.
Right.
And Wichita State continues to be on the good side of it. They are actually, by many experts, not all, but many, and matrixes, on the good side, not even on the bubble right now. So all that to get to, plus there's a Zamboni driver that was actually between the pipes yesterday for the
Best
Carolina.
Best story of the weekend.
That was a great, great story. We can talk about
plain and simple.
Yep.
Fantastic story.
We can talk about that
absolutely
about 7 or 8 minutes from now. But right now we'll go to Jason on the Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline to get us started on a Monday. Hi, Jason.
Hey, good morning. I didn't get the chance to weigh in last Friday, but I have family here from California, and they're huge KU fans. Been to game at Allen Fieldhouse. So they went to their first Wichita State game last Thursday, and they really commented on how much respect the fans have for the other team. But with that being said, I'm just proud to be a Shocker fan after hearing that. But also, you're talking about WSU and the NCAA. Would you rank them a number 7 or 8 seed?
Nope.
With that, thanks for taking my call.
No,
they're not going that good. And I don't know if they can get
ten,
there either.
10.
Yep.
10 at best. 10 at best now, probably. Unless they just absolutely, get on a tear, and there's nothing to indicate in the way that they've played this year that they'll do that. And I know that you can roll out, wait a minute, they started 15-1. They're playing in conference. They're highly scouted. They're playing against teams that have played against them and that are very familiar with their stuff. I would say, Shane, if you could I'd pluck the 10 hole right now and just say I'm going to the bank with it. See you in a few weeks if you can get it. So
I think Lenardi,
that's an if.
And Lenardi has updated his bracketology, and the Shockers are 11 playing BYU.
There you go.
So 10 and 11 is where they have not fluctuated, I guess. That's not much of a fluctuation, but that's pretty much where they are. And
well, you might want to be careful about asking for BYU.
Yeah, they,
after their week.
By the way, they just beat Gonzaga.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
Yeah, and popped them pretty good too, I might add. So San Diego State goes down. Kansas beats Baylor. Obviously, we'll talk about that as the day goes on. And all of a sudden, Shane, Kansas to me looks like the team to beat.
And isn't Azubuike about as important as anybody in the country?
Dude.
I know I talk about him a lot, but golly.
He's a force. See, that's another team that's not particular. That's a good offensive team, not a great one, but he makes them very difficult to deal with because you don't have a matchup for them defensively. And Kansas is so flipping good defensively. My God, I'm watching them on Saturday,
yep.
And not one guy slipped under a screen. Every single guy on switches no switches, they were just playing right over the tops of screens, battling to get up over the tops of screens, and they don't leave their guys. They just defend their tails off.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really fun game, by the way. I mean, for a game that wasn't particularly high scoring, there was still a really good rhythm to watching that game. Really fun. So there you go, three of the top four, changing of the guard. KU will be number one when the rankings come out. But I don't know.
I don't think
crazy
anything bad happened to Gonzaga, San Diego State, or Baylor when you're talking about damage. Bill, you got the last word of the segment. How are you, Bill?
I'm great. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, a couple of things. You guys were talking about the last few minutes of the game and all the missed opportunities, and then during the whole game the missed threes and wide open shots. How many layups and dunks did they miss yesterday?
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, we touched on that briefly. No. Yeah, we covered that.
Absolutely. Yep. Double digits. Yeah. You're right.
And something else.
That's key.
At some point, we got to figure out a way, or coach has to figure out a way to beat Cincinnati and Houston, because that's where the league goes through, is those two schools, and we just cannot seem to get over the hump against those two teams. We're going to play one of them, I'm sure, in the tournament at the end of the season, in the conference tournament. So
let's hope so.
Need to figure something out on that end. So, all right, y'all have a good one.
Thanks, Bill. Well,
yeah, I like the matchup against Cincinnati better than I like the matchup against Houston.
Two times, if one more shot goes down, they beat them twice. But I understand that fans probably don't want to hear that. All right, we got some Zamboni talk next segment. Carolina Hurricanes were forced to use a 42-year-old guy that literally was sitting in the stands and ended up with eight third-period saves to help win the game. Talk about that and some KU talk. KU's got a big game coming up tonight, Big Monday, against Oklahoma State. Stay there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.